inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
It is a special Caulfield Cup edition of Friday Form Focus. One man who's come in his own monikered T-shirt, Kings Will Dream. He's got the gold chains, the hat, the key ring, the stubby holder. You already think this horse is over the line. How are you, Sharky?
Pimping ain't easy, Felgate. I'll tell you that straight up. It's, we're just rolling out there with the gold grills and the Kings Will Dream attire tomorrow. We've got a whole bar booked, 150 of the owners nearest and dearest to be entertained throughout the day. And then we're drinking Stella Artois from that sweet, sweet gold cup.
Wow. We will hear more about Kings Will Dream, and we're going to dissect each and every runner in the Caulfield Cup. We'll whip through the undercard and try and win the quaddie as well. But first of all, let's have a chat to Jason Kerr, because it's been a huge Caulfield Cup carnival, racing so many times within the space of just a couple of weeks. Jason's done a magnificent job so far. I wonder if he's happy about 29 degrees, one of the hottest days we've seen in Melbourne so far since last summer. Is that going to be a good thing or a bad thing for the track? How are you, Jason?
G'day, Michael. How are you? G'day, Mick.
Hey, Jase.
Hey, mate. This weather, you happy about a red-hot day before Caulfield Cup day for the track?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll tipping a couple of, sort of the cooler day tomorrow, but certainly for today it works out well for us. We'll put some irrigation on a bit later this morning and into the afternoon, and it should bring it up right on the mark for tomorrow.
Been a bit of talk during the week in dispatches about the firmness of the track last week. It was a warm day. I think a lot of people universally thought the track played very well, but does that play on your mind, or is that in the back of your mind when we're coming into a Caulfield Cup that's run late in the day at 4:40 tomorrow, how firm the track will be, how much moisture you need to have in it?
Yeah, certainly. It's a big factor, obviously, tomorrow with the six imports. But yeah, certainly we had some good feedback last week on it. But yeah, there was certainly a couple of mumbles that it may have been a bit firm for a couple. So yeah, we'll certainly take that into account. We'll probably put in the vicinity of 6 mils on today. But what we've done importantly since Wednesday with the whole surface has been verti-drained, which is an aeration type machine we use, and just gives it plenty, a really nice sort of cushion into the track, which was always plan to do sometime during the week, and we did it on the Thursday after Blue Sapphire Day.
All right, well, the rail goes back out six. It's a method you've used previously. You predicted they'd get off the rail a little bit on Wednesday. With the rail out to six, how do you see it running tomorrow?
Oh, I think it's essentially brand new ground. Usually after the Wednesday, we sort of do probably in the vicinity of 50 or 60 little repairs on the tracks, just to individual sort of plug marks, and I think we did a total of 8 on Thursday, so certainly there's a couple of marks out there, but it's 99% fresh ground. The whole thing's been verti-drained, as I say, yesterday, so it's certainly as even as we can get it to walk it. I'd like to think it's going to play that way tomorrow, certainly start of the day, everything indicates that it's going to be pretty even. Got a great cover of grass on it, had a very light quick cut on Wednesday night after the meeting, and no roller at all, so it certainly looks as though it's going to play even right across.
And is there any wind forecast tomorrow, any showers in the offering?
They're saying there's a couple of showers around in the morning, sort of clearing sort of late morning, and then the wind sort of shifting from a light northerly to a light southerly tomorrow. So I think once we get through tomorrow morning, a couple of showers, fingers crossed that we miss them, and certainly I think it's sort of planned for a reasonably nice afternoon.
Who wins the cup, Jase?
Well, I've sort of been watching a few of the international videos. I'll sort of swing to Red Verdon a little bit. I think he's going to be over the odds, and he's got form around the shorter price one. So I'm not a great judge, but he'll do me for tomorrow. But just one other thing, boys, while we're there, we've got the latest track info we're going to have up on. That's downloadable from the App Store now. The Melbourne Racing Club one, you used to have to get it on the website, but now you can download it from the Apple Store and the Google Play Store, and that gives us 15-minute updates on wind and temperature and soil moisture and that throughout tomorrow. So certainly anyone that wants the latest info can go to that and download it and get the latest track info.
That's a great initiative by the MRC. So that's updated every 15 minutes, moisture content, the wind direction at the track. So for punters on the day, that's invaluable.
Yeah, certainly is. We've sort of got it up and running now, so hopefully it gets a good uptake, and I think people will find it really valuable info.
Good on you, Jase. Good luck tomorrow, mate.
Thanks, gents.
All right, time to have a chat to Darren Weir, a man who is looking to win his first Caulfield Cup tomorrow, and he has the favourite. It's been An impeccable campaign. Nothing has gone wrong with Kings Will Dream. And for Darren Weir, only three Caulfield Cup runners previously. Hard to believe.
Amazing.
But it's a pretty special day for Weary Caulfield Cup Day. How are you, mate?
How are you, guys?
Very, very well. Now, I did read during the week that you won your first race on Caulfield Cup Day. It wasn't at Caulfield. Was it a Voker?
Yeah, that's true.
And you celebrated and took a couple of days to get home. Is that right?
Yeah, that rumour is true, actually.
How many days will it take you to get home if you win the Caulfield Cup?
I'm tipping a few more than a couple. Anyway, it's just good to have horses running in it. And more importantly, touch wood, everything's gone well so far.
Where are you at the moment with Kings Will Dream in your mind about, it's been such a big build-up, he's been favourite for so long, he's drawn the perfect barrier, you're just one sleep away. Where is your confidence level with Kings Will Dream heading into the Caulfield Cup?
Well, I don't get ahead of myself in races, you know, because I know what can go wrong from that. So, but one thing I can assure the owners and all the punters that are out there that you wouldn't get a horse in any better order on the day. I think he's had the ideal preparation. Jared's kept a close eye on him. Johnny's rode him all his track work, and all the boxes have been ticked. And if he's not good enough tomorrow, we can't do our job any better. So the horse looks amazing, and he's going to present there in great shape.
What's your gut feel, Weary, about him being good enough? We hear about all these internationals. We're starting to see a couple of them now. Cliffs of Moore the other week was fantastic. Do you think he's up to that standard?
I think the key is that he's been racing at weight for age, and he drops back to handicap. And if he can land in the right spot, you know, say if he bees in the first eight going out of the straight the first time, yeah, I do think he'll be certainly in the finish. But, yeah, all those things have got to happen. But, like I said, he's had the perfect preparation for it. So we're hoping he's good enough anyway.
Talk out of the Turnbull that Youngstar visually was more impressive. She drops in weight. Are you confident out of the Turnbull just with Youngstar that you can beat her home?
I think I'm not confident that we can beat her home, but I'm sort of confident that we probably would have ran as well as what she did had Craig come to the outside instead of going to the inside. I think he would have ran better, and then we'd be probably just that smidgen more confident going into the Murrow. But they make the decisions, and he decided to go in instead of out, and I thought the horse ran well, but on that day, you'd probably say Youngstar was a better cup trial than our horse, but maybe had we come out, it might have been a different circumstance.
Is the biggest query for Kings Will Dream tomorrow the start? You don't want him to miss the start.
Yeah, obviously, and that's no fault of the jockeys. He's got a habit of not being great away, so it'll be important that he can jump away and obviously hold his spot and use the barrier. And if that doesn't happen, well, then, you know, we've got the right man on to overcome that anyway. So, but if he does begin well and hold his spot, it'll make it a lot better for sure.
What about Knight's Watch? What do you make of his run in the Caulfield Stakes? And are you confident he'll run a strong mile and a half?
I thought he ran well without running great. And I thought it wasn't sort of a run to say, well, you're going to be a real, real Caulfield Cup chance, but it was a run to say that you deserve your spot in the race. Obviously, he drops a lot in weight as well. He's got the tricky barrier to overcome, but I guess when you draw there, you're sort of committed to ride one way, and that'll be to be ridden quiet to try and get into a three-wide sort of lane and get a bit of a card into the race and be riding to be strong late. So whether it's all just come a bit quick for him, I'm not sure, but he's like Kings Will Dream. He's had a great prep and he's in really good order.
What about Gallic Chieftain? Could he do a boom time and upset some of the better horses?
I think the main thing with Gallic Chieftain is he's drawn a good gate to get a soft run. And just listening to Dean Lester this morning, he reckons that the right horses are drawn around him to follow. So, I think the backup will be great for him, but whether he's good enough, I'm not sure.
Weary, do you have a horse or two horses or a couple that you're most worried about, your opposition tomorrow?
Oh, look, I don't follow the overseas racing at all, so I don't sort of know. I do follow it, but I don't know the form there well, so I have no idea how they fit into our racing, but every time they come, they seem to run well. But I think Chris Waller's horse, it's the one for me to beat. I think it looks to have had a good preparation for it. And yeah, so she'd be the one, I reckon. And, I think any horse that's in the race would be, they obviously deserve their spot, so you'd have to worry about them all.
Weary, outside of the Cup, it could be another big day for you. You've got some really nice horses going around. We'll go through a couple of your major hopes. Gee, they've smashed Very Elegant. She's been backed off the map in the Ethereal. She must have made nice improvements since that unlucky first-up run.
Yeah, you could probably say it was unlucky, but that was the way we wanted to ride her because we hadn't had her long and we hadn't done a lot with her. And had the brakes come a bit earlier, she may have won the race, but she was ridden Johnny rode her how we asked him to, and she really charged through the line. She's continued to make the progress that you sort of want without really asking them to run any sensational times and that at home, but she's worked well, and we're thinking that she's going to go there and run good.
Are you going to have the same type of ride tomorrow with that inside draw? Just give her time to settle and hopefully look for luck?
Yep, absolutely. She won't be, we won't be using the barrier. We'll be just sort of the middle of the pack, hopefully. And if he can get one off the fence, that would be terrific. But if it doesn't happen, Johnny will work it out. He knows an air. And, just important. It'd be great to be winning, don't get me wrong, but it's important that she's running strongly through the line so we can keep continuing down the Oaks path.
Another step up in class for Extra Brute tomorrow. Weary, how's he going into the Ladbroke Classic?
Yep, he's great. He's in really good order. He's a super, super fit horse. And looking forward to seeing him run, like you say, against better opposition to see whether we can push on to the Derby after this.
I want to ask you quickly about Peaceful State. It looks a really nice race for him. He was barbecued last start. He didn't get much chance where he was in the run. How did he come through that race?
You're hanging out Dino, are you?
Well, he didn't have much luck, sorry.
He was on, that's why. He backed him.
What did you think?
I'm with you, don't worry about that. I thought he murdered it. But, hopefully, he's a really good galloper, but he's got a terrible racing style. And it's got that, it's a get back, charge and late, you sort of got to hold your breath a bit, you need so much luck with horses like this. But he's got the ability for sure. But how can you be confident with his racing style? Mm.
Hey, can we get off on a winning note? Because gee, that Delusions was a great debut.
Well, I hope so. Fair step in class, isn't it? Like from a no disrespect to the opposition at Swan Hill, but it wasn't the strongest race. But she did do it the right way, and she looks like she's come on a bit. So the only thing I'd be worried about with her is whether the big occasion gets to her, because she's a pretty flighty sort of horse. Mm. So you might know in the mountain yard how she's going to go. If she behaves herself well, I'd expect her to run well.
Weary, could be a huge day for the stable. Who's your best if we're going to back one?
To me, it's way chance, but I'd be with Grey Shadow. I reckon she's going great, and she'll get a great run. And for what reason, I don't know, but the barrier blanket stopped her from missing the start, and now she begins. So hopefully that happens again, and she'll run very well.
Well, make sure you pack your swag. If Kings Will Dream wins, Sharky's got 150 owners and hangers-on ready to party.
I don't reckon there'll be much sleep involved, so I won't need a swag for a while.
Good on you, Weary. Good luck tomorrow.
No worries. See you, guys.
DK Weir. All right, Sharky, let's go through them one by one. It is the $5 million Stella Artois Caulfield Cup, one of the majors and great races in the world, and the toppy is Best Solution from the Saeed Bin Sarur stable. Really enjoyed the chat I had yesterday with Pat Cosgrave about this horse, and you don't get a horse coming into a race with a better form line. Two Group 1s overseas are Group 2, and that's why he's the top weight.
Yeah, the German form doesn't exactly thrill me this season. It seems to be, a little bit plain. There's no real standout in Germany this season as far as the older horses go. So Best Solution just went over there and cleaned them up, and that's fine. But his Newmarket win, the form around that in July, there's some massive form around that win. He beat Mirage Dancer. That horse went and won a Group 3, a good Group 3 as well, at Goodwood. Its next start, it flogged Red Verdon in that race and then went on and ran second to Young Rascal, who's a very good young stayer. A third behind Best Solution at Newmarket was Duretto. He won a listed race at his next start. Fourth was Muntaha. He just hosed up in an Ebor. So the form out of that Newmarket run is very, very strong. Yeah, two Group 1s there. That gives him top weight, but it doesn't excite me any more than the Newmarket win.
I'm going to get you to traffic light all of these. A green, an amber, or a red. Best Solution, $15.
Amber from the barrier. All if he'd drawn better, he'd have a much stronger chance.
All right, Cliffs of Moher is the $7 third elect. He was brilliant last start at Caulfield. I'm concerned about Barrier 3 because he always starts slowly and gets back. And, you know, the crush to get to the fence down the straight at Caulfield. Is that an issue with you?
Possibly. Hugh Bowman's a pretty handy jockey, though, let's be honest. I think he'll be well aware of that. He's ridden in cups before. He rode Marmello last year and rode a quiet race on that horse. And that was a pretty good pattern, I think, a good template. You'd probably want to be a little bit closer than he was on Marmello with Cliffs of Moher, but he's a world-class. He's Group 1. He's Group 1 quality. He is in this race up to his ears. I think he's well handicapped with 56.5. His sectionals closing off in the Caulfield Stakes last week were brilliant. I think there's enough speed in the race and insured speed.
Do you think it's going to be a brutally run Caulfield Cup?
Not brutal, but it'll be a genuine tempo.
It always is, isn't it, in a
cup? Yeah. He'll get the race run to suit. Don't worry about that. It's just a matter of whether he can get out and improving into the race from the 600 because he's probably got the best turn of foot in the field.
Well, he's a definite green liner.
Green all day.
Chestnut Coat, I've got absolutely no idea. $18, I can't line up the Japanese form v. the Europeans v. the Australians.
Until only recently, he'd been going around in allowance races, which is effectively your handicap races in Japan. He stepped up into group company in May, running the Nikkei show behind Ganko, who came off dirt track form and was just rock hard fit and was leading and winning some early group sort of two, group three races in Japan. So that form's okay. Beat Tozen Basil in that race, but Tozen was arguably unlucky not to beat him home there. Tenno show run was good. I think that's what gave the stable confidence to come. His run in the Meguro Kinen was average, I thought. You're coming off a poor run, but his work since being in Australia has been very sharp. He's got good 2400 metre form. He's got a good middle draw. I'd be throwing him in the quaddie. He's on your traffic light system. He's amber.
All right. He's an amber. All right. What about John Snow? He was about fourth or fifth favourite last year. Didn't have the best of luck. Is he going as well?
Look, he's going okay. He needs giving the ground. He's not going to get that tomorrow. And I think he's a red lighter in this race.
$34.
I like this. Sound, like a traffic light party. Going back to the old uni days.
You were a green man every time, I believe.
Sound check,
$26. Now, Mike Moroney was reasonably confident about his chances earlier in the week when he was in studio, although he did admit he doesn't know the horse that well.
He has taken time to get to group standard in Germany. And this has been his best season, so they're coming off a good level. But that German form, I just don't think there's much depth to it this year. Maybe proven wrong, but so far on what's come out of there and run, and they seem to be taking turns in winning, and there's a group of about three or four that are better than the others, and the others aren't much good. I want to see him and how he goes against this class of horse. He takes a bit of riding to get into gear, but once he does, he finishes off well. I think he's more of a Melbourne Cup type.
He's a Redman?
Yeah, in the Cup tomorrow, I'd say yes.
All right. Ace High, $11. He is the fourth favourite in the race. He's only been beaten once in distances over 1,800 or further, and that was a short off head second in the ATC Derby. Can he win the Cup?
Yes. He's the forgotten horse for mine. He's probably the best local stayer. You know, he's tough. He's gone around in two derbies. He's gone very well. He's tough as old boots. His win in the Hill Stakes was very, very good. I like that he quickened up in that race and sort of sat in a stalking position, picked them up, ran away from them, put a little margin on them and sustained that to line. I thought that was a great sign. I think he's a terrific chance from a middle gate. Oliver will be sitting in the first half of the field and he'll be looming up on the corner. And like a couple of these horses, it's just going to be a question of whether he's good enough to hold off the internationals or compete with them when the class really kicks in that last 300.
Number seven is the Taj Mahal. He's $18 drawn out wide. Looks like he'll be one of the pacemakers.
Yes. Whether we use that term literally or loosely, I don't know. But I expect him to be up on the speed and setting the tempo from a wide gate as well. Barrier 19, he'll come across, he'll come out running and he'll go forward and he'll be up there, whether he leads or wants to sit second and then kick in again at the 800 to make sure that the second half of the race is genuinely run. I don't know. I don't think he's a winning chance in this race. I think he's going very well and he's a strong horse. I can see him leading or being up on speed around the corner and maybe being overrun that last little bit, but staying on, perhaps finishing midfield.
What about, so is he a red or an amber?
Red.
He's a red. Okay. Duretto, barrier one, $21 from the Baldin stable. What's your handle on Duretto?
He's pretty adaptable, but he's a listed Group 3 class horse in Europe. He's never really progressed much out of that grade. He's six-year-old their time, seven-hour time. He's been really consistent around that listed Group 3 company. That's where he's been effective. He's run well at Group 2 level in the past, but he's never really threatened to win one of those races. Adaptable from gate one, I think he'd be in the first half of the field, but look, it'd surprise me if he won.
Red?
Yes.
Okay. Red Verdant, $21. Is he the overs in the race? He's
particularly the internationals. I think the day he beat Cliffs of Moher at Ascot was a little bit flattering. He followed the winner through Crystal Ocean, sort of tagged up behind that horse and had a good run, whereas Cliffs of Moher was back and asked to come around them and quicken up. He did a little bit more work in that race and he was probably finishing a bit better. He is a pretty rock-solid, faultless customer, and he's improved this season. He had Group 1 form as a younger horse, but then as he progressed into stronger open company, he just didn't bring that Group 1 elite standard, and he sort of flirted around that Group 3 level, but he has come on this season. It's been his best season, I feel, as an older horse. And the form around Crystal Ocean, Mirage Dancer, which we've mentioned before, although well beaten, ties in with Duretto and Best Solution. So he's in the mix, goes on good to firm ground, blinkers on. It's interesting. And can quicken. He can quicken well. I think he's worn blinkers in the past. I think it's one of those form guide anomalies where we sort of have blinkers first time. I think he's actually worn the headgear before.
Can he win?
I'm going to say amber, but he's going in the quaddy.
Okay. Vonja Mask, he was 101 2 days ago. He's $81 now, the outsider of the field. Rightly so?
I don't know if he's the outsider of the field. I think he's better than that. He'll beat horses home in this race. I'm looking for him to go more to that sort of Queen Elizabeth standard, that Group 2. He's a second-tier stayer in Australia, and I don't think that's going to be good enough this year.
Vonja Mask, we just done that. Ventura Storm's $26. If you take the form line through the Turnbull, you'd have to give him a chance. But is that a flattering run?
Possibly. He ran really well in that. Arguably a little bit unlucky not to run third. He was sort of behind horses, but he needs absolutely everything to go right to win this race. I thought last season was his opportunity. He didn't measure up. He was a bull, was doing plenty wrong in running. Still ran some nice races, but he was handled fairly well last year, and he'll be around the mark. He'll run well. I just don't think he's a winning chance.
Mighty Boss, $81. I can't have him.
I don't think he'll stay. I don't think he ran all that well in the Turnbull.
All right. Holmesman, barrier four, $11. A great run 2 starts ago. 2,400 metres.
Enormous chance.
Good barrier.
Enormous chance, this horse. I loved Jordan Child's ride in the Caulfield Stakes last week. If you compare times from that run, what he was asked to do and how he was asked to travel in the first half of the race against the Underwood run, two very different rides. I think one was ridden to win a race, which was the Underwood, and the other was ridden to really test him and see if he'd stay on late at the end of a race. He did. I thought he was great over that last furlong in the Caulfield Stakes last week. I think it's the perfect preparation for this horse, much like Kings Will Dream. He's had a great prep. I think he's in this up to his ears.
All right. Kings Will Dream, put your pitch.
Well, what's he done wrong? He's been racing well at weight for age level when he wasn't fit enough to win and running really good sectionals. Yeah, 3 weeks off into a Turnbull when he was given the opportunity to freshen up a little into that race. He quickened better than Youngstar. And when you go and break down the sectionals into furlong sections, his turn of foot at the 600 to the 4 and the 4 to the 2 was very, very good. It was excellent. And then he was just that little bit soft that last 200 of the race. You've got to back Darren Weir to have the horse absolutely rock hard, fit, ready, spot on, cherry ripe, whatever you want to say, for this race. It's been his grand final since February, really, March, when he won the Mornington Cup. This has been the sole race that he's been trained for. Great draw, great jockey, great weight. You know, there's a reason he's favourite.
$5 favourite for Kings Will Dream. Sole Impact. He's the other of the Japanese. He's a $50 chance.
Chestnut Coat's got a better turn of foot. I think Sole Impact's more of a grinding type. If he's going to do anything out here, it's over 2 mile.
Gallic Chieftain making up the numbers or not?
He's a fluker's hope for a place, but I can't see him winning. For the reason that Darren and Dean Lester had mentioned, he's around the right horses. He's following the right horses. If he can tag up behind them, he's got a nice turn of foot. He might be able to, you know, run into a top five spot.
Night's Watch was almost second favourite before the Caulfield Stakes. He's drawn 18. Ben Allen, a little word of warning earlier in the week saying he's been up for a while. He's just hoping he hasn't come to the end.
Look, they tried everything to get him into the race. They did that in the Naturalism, but he had a busy September. He had 3 runs in September. Was a good winner in the Naturalism. I might be reading the horse wrong, but my read on him is that he won't run out 2400. Strong enough in this class. This is elite. This is world-class 2400-metre racing. I just doubt him at the trip, and the wide gate just, you know, it worries me even more so.
All right, and then we have Youngstar, who is the second favourite at $6 with 51.5 on her back, Kieran McAvoy.
My gut says take her on.
Why?
She came off the bit in that Turnbull early in the piece, and she surged late. She was strong over that last little bit, but I think Kings Will Dream will improve and beat her home here. And look, I've just got a gut feel about her. I think when the sprint goes on, the real hurt comes on in this race. The wheels might spin a little bit. I think she'll pick up late and find the line. I think others might find it quicker than her.
What about if it's a grueling Caulfield Cup where the speed's on?
I think others will be better suited again. I don't know. I might be completely wrong. Look at her form. She's going really well. Chris Waller's so confident about her. I might have got her completely wrong.
So she's an amber for you.
I'm going to take her on.
So she's an amber?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I know.
All right. Well,
that's almost going to be as bad as saying Winx was vulnerable in a Cox Plate a month ago.
You don't like Chris Waller, do you?
I do like
Chris Waller. You don't
think
he's a good trainer?
Well, I do like him, but you've got to have an opinion, don't you? And my opinion, for whatever bizarre reason my brain works, is that I'm going to take
it. All right, so using our traffic light system, the greens are Cliffs of Moore. We've got Ace High, who's green. We've got Homesman, who's green. We've got Kings Will Dream, who's green. So there's 4 green.
Yeah.
The rest are amber or red. Mm. So 4 winning chances in your mind in this year's Stella Athlete Caulfield
Cup. Don't look at me like that.
You're tipping Kings Will Dream on top, no doubt.
Yeah, I have to, don't I? I'll get sacked if I didn't.
All right. Give us your quaddy numbers. And for those playing at home, give us your top 4 in order.
Top 4 in order would be Kings Will Dream from Homesman, Cliffs of Moore, and Ace High.
Mm-hmm.
Quaddy numbers, I'm going to throw 6 in. 2, 3, 6, 13, 14, 18.
2, 3, 6, 13, 14, 18. So 2 Cliffs of Moore. You're putting in Chestnut Coat.
Yeah.
The
6, well, he's got great form.
Ace High. The 13 you're putting in is Homesman. 14 Kings Will Dream. And the 18, which is Youngstar. You've got it down to 4. I'm going to get it down to 3. Cliffs of Moore, Kings Will Dream, Youngstar. And I'm putting Youngstar on top.
You are confident.
To beat Cliffs
too.
Of Moher.
I like it when you've got
Kings Will Dream.
Swagger.
I'm wishing Kings Will Dream all the best. We're going to take a break. That's our look at the Caulfield Cup. We'll go through the rest of the card after this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Sharky, let's get through the rest of the meeting at Caulfield. It is an absolute cracker. We kick things off in the first. And interesting to get Darren Weir's thoughts on Delusion. Says, just wait and have a look at her and see whether she handles the occasion. She's a $3.40 chance, was brilliant on debut. But this is a big step up in class. Kalasa comes through a better class race. Is at $3.90. How do you see the first?
Delusions is the untapped horse, but yeah, she's a... She's a bit of a crazy thing. She's half mad. So a big crowd at Caulfield Cup Day, that's the thing that worries me. We need to have a really good close look at her in the mounting yard and probably in the pre-parade as well. If you're on track, go and watch her and see how she saddles up and everything else, because if she gets worked up, she's a risk. This is stepping up from the race that she won first up at Swan Hill. I thought that Kulasa would get a very, very good run on speed here. A very good run on speed. And I wouldn't be surprised if the inside and up on pace
early
would be
doors.
The place to be, particularly if we're on a good three tomorrow morning. Go back and watch all the replays of last year's Caulfield Cup Day when the track was quite firm. Good three. If you were up on speed running time, you were very hard to run past. I'm not saying leaders track, but you know that's pretty typical across any Australian racetrack when the track's firm and leaders are running time nice and
Peter Mooney gave a great insight last week on our OB on Saturday morning. He was saying that the way Caulfield is, he said him and Linda Meach used to make a lot of money out of kicking on the turn because it's like a triangle.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and you can get that margin on horses that are trying to corner and make ground. It's hard to make... You can make accelerate out of a corner. It's hard to accelerate into and out of a corner because you're turning at the same time. I thought Kulasa would get a great run here on speed. She was great behind the boys last time. She's improving with each run this prep. She's a top pick.
Excellent. Kulasa in at the first at 390. Sharky, happy to play. Race number two. Well, do we get our money back on Rainier? Into 240 now. Yulong January is a horse with immense talent at $4.20. And then we're out to Ring a Ding Ding, who I thought was a good run last start as well at $6.50. Rainier, Barrier 3. Wild Planet's $9. Beat it home. It's 240 now. Are we taking unders? Will it drift?
Of course you are. It's too short. The horse is too short. This is based on what happened last time rather than what this race actually presents like. He's going to be hard to beat, but $2.40 is well and truly too short for mine when you've got good horses in there like Wild Planet, who was luckless himself last start.
What?
Won really well, was strong. It's $9? Like, come on. And Yulong January, who is just, he's almost perfect. He goes forward, he kicks really hard. The exact scenario we mentioned with Kulasa and Moody and Meach suits Yulong January. The only worry would be that he's deep into his first prep, but at 4.20, I'd be backing him before I was backing Rainier. I'm not saying Rainier can't win. I'm just saying he's very, very short. The best at odds in this race is Secret Blaze at $19. He was great first up, and I reckon Tony McAvoy is having a little look towards Carbine Clubs and things like that. Good luck to the owners of the, what the Jewish News declared to be the most Jewish horse in Australia.
Kaplumpich.
Kaplumpich.
Yeah, Bray Sikorsky is also
the most
King's
Jewish
Dream.
Horse in Australia.
Julian Kersner, Nick Gold, good luck to the boys. It will be a big day if it wins. But you are with...
Yulong January at the price.
To beat Rainier at the price, Yulong January. It will be interesting to see if we get a better price Rainier tomorrow on course. Let's have a look at race number three. And this is the McCafe Caulfield Sprint. Geez, I was impressed with Bonds Away last start. I was on it. Thought it was going to win at the 200. Just petered out. Interesting about this race is that they're all dropping back to the 1,000 out of that race. Bonds Away is $5. Eduardo. What a performance this has been by Sarah Shoker. Hasn't been able to get a Group 2 win, but just so far out of its grades. Back to the 1,000, $3.10. Is this its race tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of pressure in this race. I doubted super him. Tough. I did doubt him in the Gilguy. I thought they might find him out there, but to the horse's credit, he was super tough. He was excellent there. It took a phenomenal last 300 from I'm Excited to run him down. There is so much speed in this race. Super 2, Miss Leonidas, Eduardo... They're going to go quickly.
Does it make it for Bonds?
I don't know if he's fast enough for 1,000. Mm. If they get out and get run, the horse that I sort of landed on was Callista. She will be at her peak now, fourth run in. I thought she looked a bit round in the car line. Same again in the McEwen, high pressure race. It, you know, border unstuck fitness wise. I thought she was getting closer in the Gilguy. Only beaten a length there, and we saw her up on speed for the first time this prep. I think that's a good sign that she was getting near peak fitness. I think she'll be at her peak in this race, and I think she's going to be really hard to beat.
Well, it's a tricky race. You're with Callista in race number three. Race number four is the Alinghi Stakes. Jorda had no luck last start, a $9 chance. Grey Shadow, who Weary tipped as his best at a little bit of odds, $4.40 from barrier one. Soothing, $4.20. From Within is the favourite at $3.90. This is another race where I think it's a bit tricky. I think $9 Jorda's appealing.
Yeah, Jorda had absolutely no luck in that Grey Shadow race, and she was a horse that I put a big circle around to follow towards a similar race to this. 58 kilos enough, though, I thought, given that there are four rivals in this race with a higher handicap rating than her, and she's carrying top weight, so not ideal. The horse that I'm really keen to see tomorrow, and I'm sort of fascinated to see how she steps up to this level, because she looked exceptional on debut as a two-year-old, is From Within. She towed up Invader at her first start and then copped a bit of a sticky jaw in the Magic Millions, had a tough run and just seemed to lose confidence from that race. And Chris Waller had her. He couldn't get her going. They switched stables. Toby Edmonds took her over and took her to Queensland. And I love the way he has approached this preparation with the mare. She's a good, strong sort of mare. She's very fast from the gates. And one of those horses that goes really quickly but doesn't look like she's going really quickly. He's just given her three nice kills there. She stepped up in grade each time. She's running really quick time. I think she's a horse in the zone, in a very confident place at the moment. She'll go to the front. And it will take a serious effort to run her down if the track is playing towards horses running time on speed. Mm. I had her on top, and I'll be backing her tomorrow. I think she's a great bet.
390 confident as one of the best of the day, is it?
Oh, look, in the early part, yeah. When while we're still confident and the chance to get any losses back, yeah, why not?
All right, From Within.
No, I do like it.
$3.90, the Sharknado's tip in race number four. Let's go on to race number five, the Ethereal Stakes. This has been the best back run of the day, and gee whiz, $2.40, very elegant. I know she was good on debut. Barrier two concerns me. Into $2.40. Graceful Glamour's at $4.20. Interesting where he said, you know what, we're on the path to the Oaks. We're just going to ride her how we want to ride her. Barrier two, if she doesn't win, that's not our major concern. We want her to win, but the Oaks is the end target. That doesn't instill me with great confidence to take 240.
Look, the 240, this is a case of punters missing the boat on the early price, which was 330, which was a fair quote. Somebody started the snowball running down the mountain, and now it's an avalanche. And you're getting to a point where the quote does not reflect the strength of the opposition. You know, she's not a 240 chance in this race. She may well win, but that's unders.
Do you think she'll drift?
I hope she does, because I'd like to back her, but I need $3 to back her. There are some good fillies in this race. Graceful Glamour did nothing wrong. You're getting 420 about a filly that was pretty convincing winner.
She was.
At Flemington, although the tempo was run to suit. Fatou's over the odds at $17. She hasn't had much luck against the best fillies in Sydney. Yulong Meteor, my girl for the Oaks, at $21. How she's $21 in this race, I'm not sure, unless she's trained off or there's people watching her track work that haven't liked it, but that's a massive price for a filly of her quality. Matt Kamani's got a horse in this race that goes really well, and you're getting $12 about it. Pressure. She was a month between runs behind Graceful Glamour. There's not much of her, and I think she'll be better in the autumn, but she's a pretty smart little staying filly. I think if you're playing this race, you play very elegant as a winning hope, and you play some of those value horses I've just mentioned for second and third and fourth in tries and first fours, or you rove very elegant in first fours and tries with those horses at longer odds, because if she gets turned over, your exotics are going to pay well. Because I think most people will have her just winning.
Ribeira and Dark Confident both ran pretty well in that same race.
Ribeira's a damn good staying filly as well. And she just got cut off.
We had a wet track on Oaks Day.
Well, yeah, whether we do or not. I don't think she needs a wet track. I just think she needs clear air. She's a momentum builder. She's not a horse that can just quicken off a quick gap when it arrives. So, yeah, tough race.
All right, let's get on to the Ladbrokes Classic. Weary holds the key, because Extra Brute, he was brutal last start. Loved his last 100 metres. Thinking big, $3.80. Extra Brute's $2.60. It's the Sydney form clashing with the Melbourne form here. And one that down the bottom, Matty Stewart's been pretty keen on. And Chapada, gee, was good last start. Big jump up in class, though. How do you see the Ladbrokes Classic?
They're the three, Thinking Big, Extra Brute, and Chapada. Chapada's got to prove it at this level, but I think he's a really natural stayer. I just think the class is with Thinking Big and Extra Brute. Watch how the track's playing. Thinking Big will be up on speed. He's a big, bold, front-running horse, but he's very strong, and he can quicken. The soft track in the Champion Stakes didn't suit him. He was a few weeks between runs there, and I just don't think the race suited him. That was a forgivable My goodness gracious me.
You started drinking already.
Oh, it's 12 o'clock somewhere. He was forgivable in that race, and I think he will be very, very hard to beat. I'm scared stiff of him with Extra Brute. The Brute is going to has a better horse to chase down than he did in Sikorsky last start.
So who are you backing?
Oh, hard to split. I have to say Extra Brute because
Extra Brute
I'll get
on
lynched.
Top
there are 60 owners
your
in that
boss
horse.
Owns
they
it.
Will bash me if I don't tip him.
Thinking big.
Some
and
large
then,
men in there.
And then Chapada for third.
Yes.
All right. That is the Ladbrokes Classic. We're going to take a break on the other side of this. We'll go through the last three legs of the quaddy, recap our Caulfield Cup tips, and bring you home with the great day it is at Caulfield and hopefully the quaddy.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
All right, Sharky, time's on the wing. Let's get into race 7, the Coonchie. Before we do, some breaking news from the stewards. Unforgotten, officially out for the remainder of the spring, will be spelled. Not surprising, but that is now official, so don't take her in any Cox Plate Place multis for any of the punters out there. The Coonchie looks to me a two-horse race. Trap for Fools, drawn one, $4. Looks to get a great run in the race. Best of days. Gee, that was a nice run last start. He should get a good run as well, $3.10. How do you see the race, Shark?
Yeah, there's another couple we need to put in. Lifeless Ordinary is another one. His two runs from a break have been excellent. He chased home Best of Days and Furion and Dan and Roman at Caulfield last start. I thought it was a really, really good effort. He will be near peak fitness for this. I reckon this might have been a little target race for the Waller team, so he's definitely in there. Best of Days is on top. He gets his chance to win. He quickens really well. I think he's looking for 2,000 metres. He can run and sustain mid-11-second splits for over his last 800. I think that's a really good sign for a middle-distance profiling horse. I think he's drawn to win. Hopefully he does. He's
all right.
A top pick.
So they're the three you're putting in, 374 in the quaddy?
I'm going to throw in Prized Icon as well, 2347.
2347. Prized Icon, good God. All right, Caulfield.
Good God.
He lost me last start. 14, 13 and 2 are your top three in the Caulfield Cup.
Yep.
Kings Will Dream to beat Holmesman and the Cliffs of Moher. You're putting in 2, 3, 6, 13, 14, 18 in your quaddy, which we will put up on the RSN website. The third leg of the quaddie is the Tristark Stakes over 1,400 metres. All right, what do we do here? This looks a really nice race. Invincibella was awesome at Flemington. Chris Waller, a little concerned about Caulfield, where she'll get $4. We've got also Savatiano, who was unlucky in that race at $4.20. And then we're out to Invincible Gem. I'll give her a really good chance at $8.50. Shamook, who Dino's keen on, is at $9.
I need to see how the track is playing. I won't be singling out any horse in this race at this point of the game. I want to see how the track's going into this race. There's probably five chances, I thought. I had it down to 3, 4, 7, 9 and 11.
3, 4, 7, 9 and 11. So Invincibella, Invincible Gem. The 7 is Shamook. The 9 is Ellie Kazoom, who's been flying of late.
Great form around here.
And the 11 is Savatiano. All right, the lucky last is the Moonga, the last of 10. She'd be good to come home on a winner here.
It would be.
Peaceful State, $4. And we've got Mr. Sneaky into $5. They're the two I like. How do you see this race? And Tom Melbourne, $6.
Short enough for the cult hero. He's not going as well as he can at the moment, Tom. That's fine. I think the winner might be Mr. Sneaky, number 8. He's going really well. This is a really suitable race for him. J-Mac up, drawn towards the outside, which is not a bad thing because he'll probably sit midfield or just off with room to move. So there's no traffic problems, or hopefully there's no traffic problems for J-Mac and Mr. Sneaky. I think he's a great chance in the last. And one of the best roughies all day is number 1, Crack Me Up.
Crack Me Up.
Mm.
$13.
Yeah.
All right. Who else are you putting in the quaddy?
1, 5, 6 and 8.
1, 5, 6 and 8. 1, Crack Me Up. The 5 is Peaceful State. 6, Dreamforce. And also 8, Mr. Sneaky. Give us your best on a tough day at Caulfield.
I hope it is race 7, number 7, Best of Days.
Best of Days. And you'll be playing hard Kings Will Dream in the Caulfield
Cup. Better believe it, big boy.
Sharky, best of luck to you and all the connections at Kings Will Dream. Good luck to anyone out there who's involved, who's lucky enough to be involved in any of the Stella Artois Caulfield Cup runners. Make sure you join us tomorrow morning live from Caulfield from 10 o'clock, a special Caulfield Cup outside broadcast. Myself, Dean Lester, Matty Stewart, David Gately, Peter Moody, and we're also very hopeful we might get the great man, Bruce McAvaney, for a little while on set as well.